Fantasy Sports Network presents NBA Takeaways.
Hello and welcome to NBA Takeaways, brought to you by the Fantasy Sports Radio Network on the NBA Sound System. I'm your host, Scott Bogman, and we had a lot happen over this weekend. Before we get to that, you can find me on Twitter, at Bogman Sports, at FNTSY Radio, and we had all kinds of stuff. I mean, on Friday, I didn't even get to talk about the All-Star Game draft because there was so much to cover as far as the trade deadline goes. So it was an interesting draft this time. You could have seen it. It was because this time it was broadcasted. Last time there was some weird veiled secrecy behind it. But of course, you guys know that it's Team LeBron versus Team GA here. And there were many interesting things that happened. I mean, when LeBron drafted Anthony Davis, GA had maybe the most genius comment I've ever heard someone say. He said, hey, isn't that tampering? And LeBron was cracking up. He said, no. Nothing that happens this weekend is tampering, which I thought it was funny. And we actually had a trade in that draft as well. After the draft, LeBron had drafted Westbrook and GA had drafted Ben Simmons, and they flipped. So just so you guys know, Team LeBron shook out like this. Kevin Durant, Irving, Kawhi Leonard, James Harden, Anthony Davis, Klay Thompson, Damian Lillard, Westbrook was flipped for Simmons, LaMarcus Aldridge, Kat, Beal, and Wade. And then GA's team turned out like this. Curry, Embiid, Paul George, Kemba Walker, Chris Middleton, Nikola Jokic. Simmons was flipped for Westbrook, like we said. Blake Griffin, D'Angelo Russell, Nikola Vucevic, Kyle Lowry, and Dirk. But I do have something interesting here for you guys, and I don't know if you noticed it when I was reading off these teams, but LeBron drafted all the free agents. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Anthony Davis, Klay Thompson. So, and I think that's why when GA had said something to him about tampering, drafting Anthony Davis, he said that no, nothing during All-Star Game weekend is tampering, because he did draft all the free agents, and that was kind of ingenious. You know, I saw someone bring it up on Reddit, and I think when I saw it, I was kind of like, okay, whatever. And then I started looking, and I was like, man, he really did too. So he took all, I mean, I like his team better, to be honest with you, anyway. Probably just because it has Harden on it and Kevin Durant, LaMarcus Aldridge, my Texas guys. But I think this team is better anyway with Irving and AD and Klay and Lillard and all that stuff. But just an interesting team that he put together, LeBron there. And we'll see what he has to say to all these free agents over All-Star Game weekend. Just, you know, LeBron is no dummy. And it's very, very thoughtful, I thought. And speaking of free agency, I didn't get to talk to you guys about it because, like I said, the last show, all we did was go over the trade deadline. And we'll talk about some of the big debuts for those players that were traded a little bit later on in the show. But Kevin Durant had a freak out. He kind of lost it on the media a couple days ago. I believe it was Wednesday night. When they were talking about his free agency, he called out a reporter and said, you know, all you guys want to talk about is where I'm going after the season. No one is asking me about this season. And, you know, I kind of get it. Steve Kerr had a couple quotes here that I would like to read to you guys. And he was talking about this freak out incident. So he said here, even though he wasn't speaking with the media for the last week, I just thought he just needed a break. He was probably tired of all the speculation, and I just thought he'll eventually get back to speaking with the media. I didn't see any of that coming, what happened last night. Instead of the focus being on the Warriors playing for a third straight title, all the focus seems to be on where everybody's going to be playing next year. And look, that's part of the deal, especially if you sign a one-year deal and you're a superstar and you're going to be a free agent. Those questions are going to come. There are times where you get upset and you just move on. You keep going. So I wasn't sure, you know, maybe this is me taking it out of context here, but I think that's Steve Kerr kind of telling Kevin Durant, like, hey, look, bud, you know, you signed the 1 year deal. You decided not to take a longer term deal to play with us, and you're going to have to kind of go through these questions. And, you know, I defend Kevin Durant to no end because, I mean, he has absolutely been made out to be a little bit more evil than people think. I mean, there are people that say he ruined the NBA. Well, no. Kevin Durant took advantage of the rules of the NBA. He went and signed, a shorter deal with a team to win rings. And also, and we've gone over this before, but players in the NBA are kind of judged by how many championships they've won. You know, one of the best players I've ever seen is Steve Nash, but no one is over there saying Steve Nash is one of the best ever because he didn't get a ring. And it's not the be all and end all. The guy will still wind up in the Hall of Fame, and you know, he got rings with the Warriors being a part of their staff during their championship runs here, of course. But, you know, as a player, his son's team never pushed over the edge. And I think Kevin Durant saw that those type of things and how people say Michael Jordan, you know, six rings. That's the only argument I need. And he said, you know what? F this. I want to go win some rings. And I get that. I understand that. But then we had the incident with Kevin Durant, you know, firing back at people with burner accounts on some of these websites, and that was childish and foolish of him to do. And, you know, so we know that KD is sensitive. He had this fight with Draymond earlier in the year, and that has fueled the speculation, of course. And I mean, there was even a thing with the Knicks where they were using a picture of Knicks players standing next to Kevin Durant in the season ticket renewal stuff that they were doing. And they had to, I mean, they didn't have to, but smartly, they went and took those pictures away so not to get fined because, you know, the tampering rules are rather strict as of late. So there's all kinds of stuff going on with Kevin Durant. But, I mean, his main focus is winning another championship with the Warriors. And I think that after this, this fight that he had with Draymond earlier this year, or disagreement, whatever you want to call it, and then him with his weird comments about LeBron earlier this year and saying, why would anyone want to play next to LeBron? Because it's just a total zoo next to him with all the media and all that stuff. I don't think he's going to wind up going to the Lakers. So I don't think the Knicks are an option because the dude wants to win. He wants to win championships. So unless the Knicks start bringing in other huge free agents, which, you know, it's all speculation at this point, and it's fun to speculate. But I don't know. I just think that Kevin Durant is a little bit sensitive and the media is hitting this over the head a little bit too hard, myself included. You know, I'm not above it. I like talking about where Kevin Durant is going to wind up. And I think it's a fun thing to speculate with, but I'm not sitting there badgering about it every day because that's not my job. My job is to talk about the stuff that goes on, not to talk to the players. So we'll see where he winds up going, but that was Steve Kerr's kind of take on all of that stuff. There was, we talked about the stuff with Anthony Davis, of course, so much Anthony Davis on the last show, and I don't want to kick this dead horse here, but there were some interesting comments from Magic that he said. Someone asked him if he thought that the Pelicans were speaking in good faith. You know what I mean? Were they really trying to get a deal done, or was this kind of pettiness? And he basically said, I don't think that the Pelicans were acting fairly, you know, or acting reasonably, which is obvious because the trade didn't go through. If he thought they were being fair, or if he thought they were being, not stringing the Lakers along, I think that a trade would have been done. But it was just kind of interesting to get him asked about that. And there was some other Magic stuff this weekend about Ben Simmons possibly wanting to, you know, talk to him in the offseason or train with him in the offseason to talk, you know, speak about big man guards, because that's what Magic did when he was playing in the NBA. And Adam Silver basically said, hey, look, you know, just the you got to take context is in the stuff here, but don't talk about other players. And that's basically what the tampering rule is. So we'll see what winds up happening with that in the offseason. But back to the Anthony Davis stuff. Anthony Davis did not get traded. And the NBA came out and said they will fine the Pelicans $100,000 for every game that Anthony Davis doesn't play when he's healthy. And I thought that that was pretty funny. Now, this rule, from what I read, was just instilled in 2017. That was when this rule first took place, where they could actually wind up fining teams for not playing their best players when they're available to play. And this is kind of, you know, I actually personally love this rule, and I love that it's being enacted, because if there's one thing that I don't appreciate about going to a game live is paying the money to go and then having one of my favorite players benched, either because, you know, I live in Phoenix, the Suns haven't been good for a long time. You know, sometimes it's because the team just doesn't feel like they need to play the best player against the Suns because their squad hasn't been good and they're not running out the best of lineups recently. So sometimes, you know, the Suns are kind of looked at as a, we don't have to run out our best players here. So that's annoying. Doesn't happen too often, but I like that this rule is happening, because it protects the consumer more than anything. I flip on a game with the Pelicans from this season, and I know that if Anthony Davis is healthy, I'm going to get to see him at some point during that game. Now, his first game back, and the Pelicans talked about potentially doing minute restrictions with him and not letting him play in back-to-backs. Well, the back-to-backs thing is out the window, I think, because of this $100,000 potential fine, and he came back. Now, he was resoundingly booed in New Orleans, which, you know what, I agree with. The guy said that he doesn't want to play for that team anymore. He's been there a long time. Of course, you have to appreciate, if you're a Pelicans fan, what he has done for your city and for your franchise, and he's a classy dude. He's always been involved in local charities and things like that, so I don't like this burning of the jerseys and all of that nonsense that comes with fan outrage. I'm not into that. But if you go and you pay your money to go to the game and you see Anthony Davis and you're mad at him right now, boo. Boo him. And they did. They soundly booed him when he made his debut. He played 25 minutes in that first game, 32 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks, 11 of 15, 10 of 11 from the line. But they didn't let him play in the fourth quarter, which was a little bit strange, because that game against the Timberwolves was very, very close. Now, the Pelicans wound up winning that game, but it was very close. 5-point game, I believe the final was 112-107, something in that nature. I don't have it in front of me. But he played the next game even more minutes on the back-to-back, 34 minutes in the next game, 14 points, 16 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. But he did get in the fourth quarter in that game with 8 minutes of 12 in the fourth. So looks like Anthony Davis is playing. He's good to go. And we will see him down the stretch for the Pelicans. And the Pelicans are a potential playoff team in the West. So we'll see if they wind up making it and if they can make any kind of push for it at all. Speaking of LeBron and the circus around him, I thought he had some interesting quotes on the East and all these teams trading in the East. And, of course, a little egocentric, but when you're the best player, one of the two best players to ever play, of course you're going to have a little bit of an ego. But these quotes are great. And he was talking to the Athletic's Joe Vardon here. He said, those top teams in the East, they're going for it. Toronto's going for it. Milwaukee's going for it. Philly, Boston believe they can do it too. They know they ain't got to go through Cleveland anymore. So that was a nice quote. He said, everybody in the East thinks they can get to the finals because they ain't got to go through me. And he is absolutely correct. I mean, look, you look in the East, LeBron dominated the East for a long, long time. And now that these teams have a chance to go, they're pushing their chips in. He said, S, I was excited seeing all the moves they made in the East today. Those matchups in the second round, the Eastern Finals, that S is going to be crazy. It's going to be fun to watch. And I could not agree with him more. I think the East is wide open, and I think it's great. I think it's great that pretty much everybody but Boston made their moves. You know, they pushed their chips in and are really, really going for it. Speaking of Boston, though, the Kyrie situation, you guys may have seen this earlier in the week because Danny Ainge had some quotes on Friday which likened Kyrie Irving re-signing to a marriage. He said, the way I viewed the situation is I think a lot of people, because of Kyrie's announcement to re-sign at the beginning of the year, thought that it was a marriage. And I think it's more like an engagement. And we're going to get married on July 1st. I think that engagement is still on. As far as I know, in my individual conversations with Kyrie, we're still engaged. But we really can't make those vows, sign that contract, until July 1st. So, you know, this is obviously coming off the heels of the I don't know anyone S comments that Kyrie has said recently. And I like that Danny Ainge is staying positive. And I think one of the big things here is you didn't see them, you know, I don't think they would have traded Kyrie, but they weren't making that push for a big star. I think the only player that they were rumored with was Anthony Davis. And the reason they were rumored with him is because they were basically begging the Pelicans not to sell him off until after the season. And that worked. You know, I think that was their big trade chip, was trying to make sure that Boston wasn't going to get rid of Boston. The Pelicans weren't going to get rid of Anthony Davis to anyone else and say, hey, look, we have pieces to move. So, but I tell you what else happened this weekend with Boston. They lost a bad game to the Clippers. It was a 25-point comeback for the Clips, and Marcus Morris was pissed. He said, I mean, for me, it's not really about the loss. It's about the attitude that we're playing with. Guys are hanging their heads. It's just not fun. It's not fun. We're not competing at a high level. Even when we're winning, it's still not fun. I just don't see the joy in the game. I watch all these other teams in the league. Guys up, get up on the bench, up on the court. They're doing stuff that looks like they're enjoying their teammates' success. They're enjoying everything, and they're playing together. When I look at us, I see a bunch of individuals. For us to be a championship team, that S has to change. We have to genuinely want to win. That has to be the first goal. Whatever it takes, I'm with it. If you want to take me out of the lineup and get some juice in it, I'm with it. But I'm trying to win. That's the goal. Trade deadline's over. This is a team we're rocking with. This is what we're going with. So at the end of the day, man, it's unacceptable what we did tonight. It's unacceptable for what we did with a team of our caliber. And you know what? I agree with every single thing that Marcus Morris is saying here. I think that, you know, we talked earlier this year, one of the first shows that, you know, I did here on NBA Takeaways was about team chemistry and looking at these teams and seeing how they're put together. And one, I think the thing that I was most worried about with the Celtics coming into this season was how is Gordon Hayward going to fit? Because he got all of whatever it was, 8 minutes of last season before that horrible, horrible ankle injury, and seeing how he was going to fit in with this team. And he really hasn't so far. He hasn't fit in very well. Now, when Kyrie was hurt, he had a couple big games, but Kyrie comes back. It's just, it's a strange fit. And it seems like the whole thing has kind of been like that. And I think that is what Kyrie's attitude has been about towards this team. They are a bunch of individuals right now, and they have as good a shot as anyone, I think, in the East. I think Toronto, Philly, and Boston are the teams to beat in the East. And right now, and you know, look, you don't want to peak right now. This isn't the time. You want to peak when the playoffs come around. But I don't see how they can peak at this point. I don't know if it's going to come together. And Marcus Morris saying this and Kyrie saying stuff like this, there may just be too many you know, want to be leaders in the kitchen. I'm not saying they're wannabes. I'm saying guys that are veterans that feel like they need to take this team to the next level. So we'll see what winds up happening here. But I mean, Marcus Morris is absolutely correct. This team is teetering. They're definitely on the edge and they need to come together and get it done. So I hope it happens for them. Too much talent to not make a realistic run in the playoffs, that's for sure. Speaking of runs, Isaiah Thomas has been assigned to the G League for a rehab assignment and could be back with the team very soon. The Nuggets play the Heat tonight on Monday, as I'm talking, Sacramento on Wednesday, and they are at Dallas on Friday. So it is possible we will see him make his debut. I mean, one of the best players in the league 2 years ago. And then last season, he had the hip stuff between Cleveland and the Lakers and all that stuff. So I just want to see him get back and get playing, and hopefully he can slide in and it doesn't, you know, wind up hurting the chemistry of the Nuggets, because they're a very, very, very good team this season. Speaking of coming back, Kevin Love played his first game since October 24th. He missed 50 games after that foot surgery. He only played 6 minutes. He had 4 points, a rebound, and an assist, and he didn't play the very next night. The Cavs host the Knicks tonight, so we'll see if he winds up playing in that game or not. But he is back and working his way slowly but surely. A couple other things here. Brett Brown on the Sixers trading Fultz. I thought these comments were very interesting and heartfelt by Brett Brown, which is kind of, I guess, unexpected in a situation like this, just because, you know, Fultz wasn't there very long, didn't play very much at all. But he said, "I'd be lying if I said I didn't feel sad. It was two emotions I had, sad personally, selfishly, I suppose. I never really felt like I got a chance to coach him. I never felt like the city got a chance to see him. I feel sad for that. I was pleased for him that he had a new start. He has a fresh start and another opportunity." So, interesting quote by Brett Brown there. And, you know, sometimes we forget that these guys have emotions too, because they're supposed to be the, you know, tough guys and all that good stuff. But, Markelle Fultz going to another situation, getting out of Philly, just has to be the best for him. So we'll keep you updated on whenever he comes back to play. John Wall spoke about his injuries, and this is kind of a sad quote going on here. He said, "I guess God is telling me something, to sit down and get yourself fully healthy. I played through injuries my whole career. I know a lot of people who played through injuries and don't sit down. That's one thing I don't like to do. If something's nagging or not broken, I want to play. I guess it's just kind of caught up to me. I didn't want to hear it," he said, about the injury when he found out. "I'm kind of glad it happened now instead of when I'm 4 or 5 months ahead in recovery, trying to get back on the court, and it happens then." So John Wall seeing a little bit of a silver lining here, and he's right. You know, if something like this was going to happen, let's go ahead and have it happen right after he shut down, not in the middle of that. But his recovery time is 11 to 15 months, so there is a good chance that we won't see him play at all next season either, which is the reason I think that Otto Porter Jr. wound up being kind of expendable as far as the Wizards go at the trade deadline. But let's take a look at some of these debut lines for some of these guys that were traded. And we start out in Philly with Tobias Harris. First game against Denver, 14 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and 2 3-pointers made. And then the next game against the Lakers, 22, 6, and 6 with a block and 3 3-pointers. Boban, same Philly team, against Denver had 15 minutes, 4 and 2 with a block, 13 minutes versus the Lakers, 10 points, a rebound, an assist, and a block. And then we had in Cleveland, Marquese Chriss, 23 minutes at Washington, 13 and 8, and then 24 minutes against the Pacers, 7-3-2 in a steal. So Marquese Chriss getting a little bit of juice here. But the Washington boys, the new Washington boys, Bobby Portis against Cleveland this first game, 30 points, 6 rebounds, 2 assists, a steal, 4 three-pointers. And then him and Jabari Parker were at Chicago, 29 minutes in that one, double-double, 10 and 12 with 4 assists and 2 blocks in that game. So he came to play for sure. Jabari Parker versus Cleveland in that first game, 23 minutes, 7 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists, so almost a triple-double there. 3 steals, a block, and a 3-point made. And then at Chicago, he played 34 minutes in that one. 20 points, 5 rebounds, 6 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. So great lines out of the new Wizards. Then we move on to Otto Porter Jr., the other side of this trade. 34 minutes at Brooklyn, 18 points, 4 rebounds, and assists, with 4 three-pointers made. And then against his old team, Washington, in 34 minutes, 17 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, a block, and 2 three-pointers made. So deuces wild for him against his old squad. Tyler Johnson in 28 minutes versus the Warriors, only 5 points, 2 assists, 2 steals, 1 of 9 from the field with the Suns. 32 minutes at Sacramento. In the next game, he played 9 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, and a 3-pointer. Stanley Johnson didn't get cut. We were a little bit fearful of that with the Pelicans. 20 minutes against the Timberwolves in that first game. 6-2 in a steal. Only 8 minutes at Memphis in the next game with a rebound and a steal. Harrison Barnes with Sacramento versus Miami. 37 points, 12 points, 7 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 3-pointers. And then against Phoenix, 30 minutes, 9 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and a 3-pointer made. Alec Burks, also with the Kings now, versus Miami, 9-4-1-1 in 15 minutes. And then against the Suns, only 3 rebounds in 21 minutes. So he needs to get involved in a rotation there fairly soon. Marc Gasol came off the bench in his first game with the Raptors, 19 minutes only at the Knicks, 7-6-1-2-1, so 2 steals on a block in his debut, so he's going to get rocking fairly soon. A bunch of new Clippers here. Zubats at Boston had 23 minutes, 12 points, 9 rebounds, and 3 blocks, but Landry Shamet at Boston, really, really nice line here. 27 minutes, 17 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal with 4 three-pointers. Jermichael Green against Boston. This was the big comeback game, of course. Only 15 minutes with 2 points and 4 rebounds. And then the new Grizzlies. There's a bunch of them here. Avery Bradley with Memphis against the Pelicans. 25 minutes, 8 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists, and a steal with 2 three-pointers. DeLon Wright, 23 points against the Pelicans. 7-1-2 and a steal. CJ Miles in that game, 21 minutes, 13 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. And then my guy, Iman Shumpert, in a loss to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Only 3 points, 4 rebounds, a steal and a block, and his 3 points did come off a 3, of course, because he plays with the Rockets. There are a bunch of guys that haven't made their debut yet, of course. Nikola Mirotic, still injured, hasn't played for the Bucks yet. And Markel Fultz, another big one, hasn't played for the Magic yet. But let's take a look at the slate tonight, because there are a ton of games tonight. I believe there's 9. We've got the New York Knicks on the road at... This is a fun one because these are... this is a Zion fight right here again. And we've got Cleveland favored by 1.5 in this game over the Knicks. I think I'm going to go with the Knicks here. I know Cleveland has been playing a bit better, but I'm going to go with the Knicks in this one. Washington is on the road against the Pistons. Pistons favored by 4. I kind of like Washington with that new squad. Jabari and Bobby Portis playing well. So I'm going to take the Wizards in that one because Detroit can't seem to get quite back on track. The Hornets at the Pacers, who have won 5 in a row, the Pacers. Much better off of that Oladipo injury. They're favored by 5. I'm going to take them in that game. Brooklyn on the road at Toronto. Toronto's favored by 10.5. I think I'd take Brooklyn against the line, but Toronto straight up. Milwaukee at Chicago. Give me Milwaukee in that game. There's no line there. Dallas at Houston. Give me the Rockets. Of course, I'm a homer. I'm going to take my Rockets, especially coming off a loss to the Thunder. Clippers at the T-Wolves. You know what? Give me the Clippers. They looked good the other night in that big comeback. I'm going to take them on the road in that game. Portland at Oklahoma City. OKC favored by 6.5. They are dangerous right now. Give me the Thunder. And Miami at Denver with no line. I'm going to take Denver. So that's it for me. At Bogman Sports on the Twitter machine. At NBA Sound System. At FNTSY Radio. And you will be talking to the Welsh tomorrow. Have a great day, everybody.
For more NBA content, be sure to check out the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube stream.